Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time today? Thank you for the privilege we have of looking into your word. And Lord, we do need your guidance every time. I pray you'll give wisdom on this subject here. And bless today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the subjects that I'm dealing with don't get easier at all. If you happen to have a look ahead into this week, you realize I am the next two lies are pretty hot potatoes here, but very important, actually, and I trust that it'll be a help. For many of you, this is not an issue that we're going to be looking at, but you have many, many people that you influence, and it's just good from a biblical perspective to look at things right. The thing about this book that has made it so popular over the years is she doesn't shy away from the difficult issues. And that's the only problem is that when you take the book as your textbook, then you got to go with the things she doesn't shy away from. So you know, that's what we're going to be doing today. Lies women believe about children. And this is something that has come about because of the change in our culture over the last century. And so I'm going to just give this as is given, and I trust I can give it in a balanced way. It's often a very difficult subject. I get asked about this often, but the lie is I have the right to control my reproductive choices. That's the lie. So she's going right to the heart of a cultural issue that is major. And I probably get asked this, you know, regularly every year by a few. And it's not an easy one to answer because I don't want to be the answer man and people make choices that are going to affect their lives just based upon pastor said so. And so that's one that I try to direct them to Bible study and to their own walk with God in this very sensitive area. But it's an important area. It's basic to our life. I have the right to control my reproductive choices. Well, we do need to look back where this came from. I can tell you right now, if you were in the 1800s, this was not an issue. This wasn't an issue. Wasn't on the plate. It wasn't there. Secular, sacred, believers, unbelievers, not an issue. Part of it is that the medical science had not gotten to the place where choices could be made. And it was considered, anything like that, considered to be pagan at that point. I mean, it was very strongly accepted that that was not the way to pursue. Now, we all know the organization Planned Parenthood, right? Planned Parenthood goes back to Margaret Sanger. And it's really amazing that they are actually almost opposite now in a lot of things that they now hold to than what she did. She was very radical in her worldview. Her worldview was no God. Her worldview was evolution. And she believed very clearly, like Darwin, that we needed to create a race of people that were healthy and smart and so forth, and therefore there needed to be a selection of who lives and who does not live. I am not exaggerating. If you read up on Margaret Sanger, I haven't said the half of it. In fact, let's see if I can get it here. Planned Parenthood originally was called the American Birth Control League. That was its original name, okay? And so she very strongly, her byline of her feminist publication in 1914, and this is all in your book there, is it was called the Woman Rebel. And the byline was no gods, no masters. And so you can see the secularism. And so her birth control was not even for the purpose of protecting women. It was really what Darwin was talking about, the selection, of a higher level race Where do you think Hitler got all this? See, Hitler came right out of Darwinianism. Remember, Darwin was all about inferior species and superior species. In fact, that I can't remember the name on his Origin of the Species. I can't remember what the byline on there was, but it was all about the matter of a superior race. And so Hitler just got that right out of the playbook, and Satan got him to be anti-Semitic, so he saw the Jewish people as the inferior ones, and of course, history is tragic. By the way, Satan can never win. What came out of the Holocaust? Present nation of Israel. Never would the nations of the world okayed Israel to be in their land had they not had the Holocaust. And it was barely, if it wasn't for President Truman, who had a Christian counselor who late that night that he decided to recognize Israel. If it wasn't for him, it probably wouldn't have happened. But it certainly wouldn't have happened without the Holocaust. I just only use that as, you know, it's such an encouragement to realize that God is all-powerful. He's all-wise, and we can trust him. I'm getting a little offline here. But anyway, she advocated a combination of birth control. She, by the way, she coined that term. So a lot of what we talk about comes from Margaret Sanger. A term she coined, forced sterilization and segregation to improve society by keeping unfit people from reproducing. Her definition of unfit included people who were disabled, poor, sick, or feeble-minded, people with a low IQ. So this is radical humanism that back a century and a quarter ago really began to get public traction. And Planned Parenthood, of course, began to have a lot of research into oral contraceptives, which was a big deal back, about half a century ago. And so we just had all of that coming in. But the whole idea was children, family could be separated from the physical relationship between a man and a woman. In other words, that they took this all took the matter of the physical relationship out of God's full intention to accomplish His purpose on this planet, and it sped up the moral revolution. In other words, everything is about what you want. How you want to live, not what God says and what God's order is. Now, I could actually take an hour right now talk about worldview, and I'm just touching on some of the things that she says. But I want you to realize that this attitude of the fact that I can be in control, and again, we have to define that correctly, but it does come out of very radical humanism. And I think when Christian women realize that, that helps, because almost every terminology about, like we mentioned, birth control or family planning, in fact, Planned Parenthood. And of course, what's Planned Parenthood's main service that they give? Abortion. 95% of it. And family planning from the standpoint of not having children. And so feminism, of course, told women they don't have to follow God's order, that they can be their own woman. Now, have women been oppressed over the years? I'm telling you, you go to a lot of the world right now, it's pathetic. It's tragic. Women need advocates. It's a big deal. But where there is a Christian emphasis, women are brought up to proper dignity. So what this does is it brings women back down, frankly, as far as to who they are and how God has created them. And it's a tragic thing. But women do need, to have the right kind of opportunities and so forth. We're not talking about that. Feminism was trying to take away God's order and taking away the great privilege that women have to be what God has created them to be. Remember, very clearly in Genesis, and also we have In the New Testament, God created the woman for the man, just in his beautiful creative order. And that's the only place a woman will find true fulfillment and happiness, being surrendered. Even if she doesn't have that opportunity, if she has that kind of worldview, God will bless her because of it. And so this life and influence of Margaret Sanger and then successive people after her, and then the whole moral revolution, and you had some pretty awful things happen in the early 1900s in regard to that, false studies. It's just amazing. And of course, all that got into our colleges, got into our public schools, and we have a very, very broken culture now because of that. But here are the things that Planned Parenthood would tell you. You have a right to control your body. Now, is there some aspect of truth to that? Some, but not the way they mean it. You have the right to decide when and whether to have a child. Now, I'll stop there. Many Christians actually believe that. You may believe that. That's why I said, this is a dicey subject. I appreciate her straightforwardness on it. Isn't it fun? Here I am, a man with only ladies in here, and I'm having to talk about this. One of the amazing things of life. But anyway, we're going to talk about it, but is that really true? Whose right is it to decide what life lives or is conceived? Every child should be wanted and loved. Unwanted and unloved children shouldn't be born. See how dicey that is? We all would be sympathetic, but life is life. A child born will live somewhere forever. And you are entitled to sexual pleasure and fulfillment without the necessity of marriage or the fear of pregnancy. That's what Planned Parenthood believes. That's the moral revolution. And that is not true. In fact, God could not be clearer throughout the Old and New Testament. That's not a debatable subject biblically. We all understand that? That's abhorrent to God. So, Christian women, Christian men too, of course, are just affected by it, they know that some of this is wrong. But I can tell you, this is in the fabric of Christian evangelical women's thinking. And it's like she says, it's like an IV drop into the vein of an unconscious patient. We're just surrounded by it. We're surrounded by it. It becomes what is normal. It's what makes sense. It's what seems to be the way that we should handle our lives. That's why we have to go to the Word of God to get our answers. So Genesis 1:28, children are a blessing from the Lord and a fulfillment of the command to multiply and fill the earth. That was given to Adam and Eve, and that was given to who next got that command? To multiply and fill the earth. Excuse me? Noah. Yeah, and then Abraham would have the same kind of concept. But Noah, here he is, just eight of them. And so multiply and fill the earth. So that was God's will. Children are God's gift to us, a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. That's been believed by Christians all throughout the ages, except for the last generation. Children give purpose and meaning and joy to our lives. Let's just turn there. Psalm 127, I should be able to quote that. Wonderful psalm. Psalm 127. I have to hurry along here. Okay, 4 and 5, As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And that was just accepted. Children were extremely important. We talked about that. We looked at different women in our last study. Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise son shall have joy of him. Children come from the Lord. They are a reward of the Lord. And God expects children, Christian parents, to raise children in the discipline, nurture, and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. Now, again, just like immorality and the moral revolution is completely condemned in Scripture, so this idea that children are a problem and we have the right to decide what we're going to do about children does not come out of a biblical perspective. Who opens and shuts the womb? You know, one of the most expensive businesses in America today is trying to have get children for parents that can't have them. Isn't that interesting? In a day in which we are killing babies, you have a business about making babies. It shows you how mixed up our human race is. God shut the womb of the Philistines. They could not have children. And that's what we find there in Genesis. Hannah longed for a child. Well, you remember Sarah. She didn't have a child until she was 90. And I'm sure she could have. God didn't let her for the purpose of Isaac and so forth. And then Hannah wanted a child. Her womb was closed, the Bible says. And then she prayed, and what did God do? He opened her womb. And so God clearly is the author of life. And so they quote from a popular Christian website just to give how this mentality is in our culture today among believers. Since modern birth control and fertility options were not available during biblical times, the Bible is silent on the matter of using these methods to prevent or encourage pregnancy. Preventing pregnancy for family planning purposes, either temporarily or permanently, is a neutral act and not considered sinful. This is not a simple subject, but I'm trying to give you the biblical basis for the decisions that need to be made. We don't need to come from the secular worldview. We need to come from a biblical worldview. That's really the key thing that I'm trying to get across. And so the fruit of having children is seen as the great blessings that God gives. And yet we reject blessings. Tells the story of a lady named Holly. She, of course, struggled with this matter of having children. Am I going to be pregnant every 9 months? Can we afford more children? Can we love a larger number of children? What will other people think? By the way, that's a big one. That's a big one. And there's a lot of peer pressure today. And God began to work in her heart, and God gave her several more children. And what really helped her was just coming across the just different biblical truths. For instance, Malachi says that what's the purpose of two becoming one? To raise a godly seed, okay? And so those kind of things really do help you come to the right perspective. Now, these are not easy issues, but I'm giving you the basics at the moment. Now, there's a lot of infertility today, and it's because women do fall for this idea of the extreme control using chemicals and so forth, and there's a price to be paid. And you're also toying with this fact of who is actually God in your life. And so those are the hard things that, believe me, as a pastor, I mean, this is not an easy thing to deal with. So let's just talk about this for a minute, because my time is running out. I want to finish this properly. As I said, this is a hard thing for me to counsel. People will come and say, what about children? Well, first of all, should self be the dominant reason for any choice in our lives? Obviously, no. Okay. It's what God wants and what God says, not what we want and what man says. And so self is a problem that we have to face. When I have couples for premarriage counseling, and believe me, I've been having lots of premarriage counseling these days. In fact, I get mixed up what I said to one couple and to another, which is a great problem, you know. Every week it seems like I have one. One of the things that I will say is that when you get married, you think you have really matured until you get married. And then you realize, oh man, I'm much more of a kid than I thought I was. I mean, there's a lot of selfishness, right? All of you ladies have been married, you know what I'm talking about. But there's another guaranteed way to grow. It's called junior, okay? You add a child into the mix, and who gets the real pressure in that whole deal? The mama, okay? Does your life change? Yeah. Things you wanted to do, things that how you handle life. If you're a perfectionist, they undo your perfectionist tendencies. They mess up your schedule and all kinds of things, okay? And so you have to grapple with self. Now, do you think God knows that marriage and children are tools of helping us grow? Of course. That's how he created us. That's his whole plan. Two becoming one is not easy. It means you got to really grow in the Lord. Having children, not easy. You got to grow in the Lord. When you bypass that on purpose for your selfish life, you're saying, God, don't grow me. Now, again, I've got to be careful. There's so many different aspects, and I'm not able to cover them all, of course, today. But I'm talking about the attitude. I want to do this. I want to do that. I don't want to be bothered by a child. It's my choice whether or not I'm going to have the burden of a child or not. That's the attitude of our day. And that is bypassing what God has given to us. And the next lie, which I may have to finish up, and I'm going to try to give you some perspective here, we aren't able to afford more children. I have found you never can afford children, and when you raise them, you wonder how in the world you did it. Right? Moms, I mean, you know, they tell you, and according at the time this book was written, 304,000 per kid. Okay. Well, I'm not counting, you know. But, you know, the more kids you have, the more you just use everything you got, and you just sort of throw them in and put a little more soup on the stove, and it's amazing. It works. How do you think the pioneers did it? I mean, that's just been the way it's been. And yes, they're costly, but did you know when you're in God's will, does God provide for your needs? Where's God? Where's the whole walking with him? And so we need to realize what a privilege it is. And by the way, I failed to mention in 1 Timothy 5 or 2:15, women will be saved through childbearing. There is a great blessing and growth that comes through childbearing. And then a young widow is to do what? Marry and bear children. Directly says that. A young widow is to marry and have children. So that's the overall tone of the will of God. All right. If you were to come to me and say, Pastor, what should we do about God's will for children in our family? Of course, I would feel the pressure because I don't want people to depend on my advice because it's a big deal when you have a child, don't have a child, etc. It's a matter between that couple and the Lord, but you got to take the weight of Scripture. And I'm just going to give you my own perspective on it, but I'm always going to go and give Scripture the benefit of the doubt. And that is, if my God opens the womb and closes the womb, He knows what's best for me, and He knows who He wants to live. And He knows who he wants me to be a part of, having that wonderful opportunity for a life to live here on this planet. And I don't want to be God. Now, that's totally against Sanger and all the other. You say, but I could end up with 15 kids. Well, maybe. I remember we had that heart, and we have 6 children. We lost our 7th, and then we didn't have any more children. God knew we had Wayne the 3rd. God knew the trials we were going to go through. And, you know, God's birth control is pretty amazing. We were actually a little sad. We were looking forward to 7 or 8 or 9. That would be fine with me. Thankful for 6. Got almost 25 grandchildren, so I'm doing okay, you know.
Yeah. We make it up.
Yeah, yes. That's why I said I have to be careful. I'm giving you the biblical worldview. You got to work back from the biblical worldview and then make the decisions that need to be made. I think that there has to be clear medical understanding of the problems that are there. Probably all of you know that, ladies that were careful because of the difficulties before, and then God gave them another child, and they did just fine. I mean, I've seen those kind of things. God just is powerful. But it can't be because of a selfish motivation. It's got to be leadership of God. And I know I'm somewhat ducking the total specificity of an answer, because every situation is different. I'm telling you, you have a woman with congestive heart failure, and she only has 30% of her heart working. You know, I don't care if she's 38 years of age, she probably ought not have a child, but you got to wrestle with God about that, because I've seen miracles over and over. This is such a personal thing, but all I'm trying to say is, folks, and she just deals with it bluntly. I haven't dealt with it like she deals with it. The fact of the matter is, start with the Word of God and have a biblical worldview, and then make decisions that are led by the Lord, but not at all based upon modern thinking or on selfish thinking. Does that make sense? I think that is as good of advice I can give. I didn't know how many children I should have, and young mothers don't know how many children God wants them to have. Aren't you glad that Susanna Wesley, what was John Wesley, was her 15th? Or 18th?
They had 19 children.
Yeah, I think he was 17 or something like that. His life changed the British Empire, changed America. And she gave her life for those children. And then, of course, Charles Wesley. We sing those hymns all the time. You're deeply blessed by them. In other words, let me just say, folks, we're not God, and it's not about us. We got to do what God says. He did say multiply. And this is I got to be so careful, but this is in this chapter, and this is a big problem, and we are very much inundated by humanistic thinking. And so, ladies, most of you are not facing those choices right now, but you're going to be with ladies that are. And point them to the Word of God. Cause them to really trust the Lord. God can close the womb. No problem for Him. He knows. And yet it seems like I think what I'm saying is a bit maybe foolish and irresponsible. That's why I say you've got to be with the Lord. But do we have to use the means that are questionable by modern science? Or can we use our heads as God leads? Big questions. But let's give God the benefit of the doubt.